Brothers and sisters, the parable of the Good Samaritan is one of the most commented on of Jesus' parables. Perhaps what makes this worthy of such commentary is that with this rather simple story, Christ revealed the dignity of every human person. You know, strange as it may seem to us today, 2,000 years ago, people didn't understand the dignity of individual people, especially those who are part of other clans, tribes, or nations. Jesus forever changed the world by informing us that our neighbor is not simply our own people, but it's all people. And therefore, loving neighbor entails loving anyone who crosses our path. Like so many of Christ's teachings, it's a lot easier to hear this teaching than it is to put it into practice. In a recent homily, Pope Francis spoke about this parable with the stated intent of, quote, provoking the consciences of all. He spoke in terms of immigration while addressing a group of immigrants at Lampedusa. And Lampedusa, for those who don't know, is Europe's Ellis Island, if you will. So it's where all immigrants would come into Europe from. And during this homily, he pricked the consciences of many people when he said, quote, "We have fallen into the hypocritical attitude of the priest and the servant of the altar that Jesus speaks about in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We look upon the brother half dead by the roadside. Perhaps we think, poor guy. And we continue on our way. It's none of our business. And we feel fine with this. We feel at peace with this. We feel fine. The culture of well-being that makes us think of ourselves, that makes us insensitive to the cries of others, that makes us live in soap bubbles that are beautiful but are nothing, brings the globalization of indifference. In this world of globalization, we've fallen into a globalization of indifference. We're accustomed to the suffering of others, and it doesn't concern us. It's none of our business." End quote. What the Pope has keenly observed is that we often turn our eyes blindly away from the situations where people are suffering. We, like the priests and the Levite, often pass on the other side of the road. We may look with pity on those who suffer in lands that are torn by war or controlled by corrupt officials or warlords. But when the time comes to act, we prefer to stay at a distance, to look upon the situation from the other side of the road, as it were. We understand their suffering, but we don't want to help alleviate it by allowing them to come to our country, especially if it means that we may have to relinquish 2 silver coins from our own purse in order to care for them. The parable of the Good Samaritan pricks our conscience because it instructs us to care for all who have been unjustly beaten and left for dead. This means not only welcoming the poor, huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the homeless and the tempest-tossed, as the Statue of Liberty beckons, but also restoring their dignity. In the gospel parable, the person who helped the man who had been mugged and beaten was a Samaritan. Recall that the Samaritans and the Jews didn't like each other. Think of the way in which the Samaritan woman at the well was put off when Jesus, a Jew, spoke to her. Yet what we see in this parable is that in the moment of need, this Samaritan traveler was able to put aside the differences of birth and religion and nationality and went back to the most basic of all relationships, that of being a fellow human being. When he looked upon the man who had been beaten, he didn't see a Jew. He didn't see a rival. He didn't see an other. What he saw was a human being whose dignity had been stripped. The Samaritan recognized that he needed to restore this man to his proper dignity, regardless of the man's religion or nationality. Friends, do you see the power of this gospel? Do you see why it's been the topic of so many discussions? This parable isn't simply a heartwarming story telling us to be nice to everyone. It's a parable intended to inform us that our dignity has nothing to do with our nationality or our religion. Our dignity comes from the fact that we are human beings made in the image and likeness of God. Go back to the Pope's comments on immigration. The Pope noted that so many people have had their dignity marred by the political circumstances in which they live. He asks us not only to provide safe haven for these people, but to restore their dignity in its entirety. This means that we need to tend to their wounds, but it also means that we restore them to full dignity, allowing them to work, for example, so that they can become co-creators with God. If we move beyond the issue of immigration and take an even broader view of this gospel passage, we begin to understand what blessed John Paul the Great meant when he called for a new evangelization that proclaimed a culture of life. So often that phrase, culture of life, is reduced to an opposition to abortion or to war or to euthanasia. And while those are certainly important aspects of the culture of life, the culture of life is so much more than that. It's about restoring human beings to their proper dignity. Preaching the culture of life extends to every situation where human dignity is defiled. It applies to bullying. It applies to workplace gossip. It applies to Facebook posts. Friends, whenever we see human dignity devalued, we as Catholics cannot remain idle. This is what makes this passage so difficult and yet so powerful. It's the basis for the adage that the only thing necessary for evil to thrive is for good people to do nothing. All too often, we see injustice. We see people being bullied. We hear coworkers gossiping around the water cooler, or we read slanderous Facebook posts. And yet, we become indifferent. We say, "This isn't my battle." And we simply pass by, observing the situation from the other side of the road. Our Catholic faith, of course, refers to these things as sins of omission, because while we didn't inflict damage on anyone, we didn't act neighborly. We didn't make an effort to restore dignity to those whose dignity had been robbed from them. And as such, we neglected our mission to proclaim the kingdom of God, and instead allowed such proclamation to fall silent. The proclamation of the kingdom of God is the essential missionary component of being a disciple. And it's about salvation. We participate in the salvific work of Christ when we restore people to their proper dignity. And we can do this with everyone that we encounter because everyone has been marred by sin. Even Jesus himself, while having never committed sin, had his body marred by human sin. But Jesus was able to overcome the power of sin. He transformed it from within and brought about the redemption of humanity. At Mass, we are united with Christ when we eat his body and drink his blood. And therefore, we're united with that same transforming power. This means that we too must transform sin and restore dignity to all whom we encounter. This is, in fact, the good news that we proclaim. It's the message that human beings are unique, that we're different from all of the other creation that roams this earth, because we have been made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, we possess a unique dignity, a dignity that comes from being made in that image and likeness of God. Friends, if we want to faithfully proclaim the good news that each person has an inherent dignity, and if we do so, we need to do so with the intent of making sure that every individual human being's dignity is respected, not just the dignity of a majority of the people. If we faithfully proclaim that good news, the good news that every human being has an inherent dignity, and if we work to ensure that the dignity of every human being is respected and preserved, we'll create a culture of life that's so beautiful, that's so powerful, that no one will want to observe it from the other side of the road. Instead, all people will want to cross the street to participate in that great culture of life. Brothers and sisters, Peace to you and to all who respect human dignity.